Spellbound is a femtastical, actual play, D&D podcast. It follows the adventures of Princess Thea, the human sorceress played by Lydia Miller.
Friends, my saving from me stuff will nothing!
Delalia, the elven ranger, played by Kelsey Botwinick-Caruza.
You know what's scarier than whatever the hell you're doing? Kildora.
Felix, the gnome fighter, played by Rebecca Munoz.
I'm down with the people. I'm hip to the groove.
And me, your dungeon master, Emma Carter. Welcome, listeners. Although we might look like a child-friendly podcast, Spellbound contains adult language and themes. See the content warning in the episode notes. Spellbound is made possible by our fantastic patrons on Patreon. For as little as $2 a month, our beautiful patrons get to enjoy special bonus content, which includes access to our pre-game discussions, remote movie watching parties, and more. Top-tiered patrons even unlock one gifted avatar commission from Rebecca. So if you're interested in unlocking some bonus content, head on over to patreon.com/spellpod. I don't know why, but for some reason, it feels like it's been a really long time since we released an episode, even though it was only 2 weeks ago. I guess what I'm saying is, hey, listener, how are you? We never talk anymore. Thank you for being here for episode 34. Get ready, gang. This episode is a doozy, but I'm really proud of the story we were all able to tell together. Also, side note, I hope that with the weather warming up, you've been able to get outside and take a walk, or maybe even get your vaccination so that you can see your friends and family. The Spellcast and I have all gotten at least one of our shots so far, and we're very, very thankful that we were able to do that. And we encourage anybody listening, if you also have the ability, to do the same. When last we left our heroes, they entered the abandoned mines near Wonder Trundle in search of the Oni and his captive, Pipsqueak Fiddlefair, son of Pierre Fiddlefair, owner of the local inn. Upon entering the mine, they almost immediately found themselves in combat with a slurpy, derpy mimic and almost lost one of the most valuable members of their party, Ramsels. Now they're heading deeper into the mine. And get ready, folks, because they're about to face something even more frightening. I will see you in the story.
Something I do want to acknowledge is that Baomin is with us.
Oh yeah, the weasel. I forgot about him.
So we have to use him in battle. Also,
I guess I could have used him.
There's a little baby doll by that hole that's reminiscent of the baby doll that was with Creepy Kid from Elfland.
That's
remember?
Right.
Mm-hmm. I remember listening to that episode like when it was live and being like freaked the shit out from it. Like I wasn't in real life. And then when listening, it was like, clearly the DM wanted us to have paid more attention to that than we did, because the DM edited that way and it was fucking scary.
There are some moments where I go back and listen to the episodes and I was like, boy, where was I in this moment that did not involve me? I need to pay attention.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes I don't pay attention because I think it's better for the characters.
Yeah. No, there are times. But then at the same time, I'm like, I have no idea what was going on in that one moment. I like completely just spaced out and like I came back and I was like, oh, I hope no one said anything really important to me.
I've been gone for minutes.
Sorry, I've been off on another adventure.
Other important things, we do each have a really cool commemorative Fiddlefair coffee cup. We also, there's 10 pictures available, like 9 left in the camera because one was taken of us. Bamman's here, Thistle stayed home, Dashing is with us. My mom and I have this special magical land and there's caves on it. and my puppy Pontius Puglet, was loved exploring, like was a very explory dog. So is Heimdall. Everybody, dogs love the land. But yeah, he'd go into these like baby caves that a human could never fit in, and we'd be like, Pontius, come out. Like after a while, like scared, like is he stuck in there? Mm-hmm. Ah. So when that happens in real life, it like totally lit a fire underneath of it, of the already fear that I had.
It's funny that you say in real life, because the thing that actually happened was in real life, but this thing that just happened was in the game.
Yes.
So do you guys try to climb down this sinkhole?
Yes.
Below?
I guess. 100%. I've been thinking about how do I get Ramses down there? And like, if we have to run, how am I going to get him out? Do I leave him?
Can I levitate someone?
I can't.
I can't.
We can't leave him up here. There's barrels.
I can use my mage hand. Maybe I can lower the camera down and take a picture. Is it less than 10 pounds?
It is less than 10 pounds, but it's too far away, I think.
Let me check.
And I think it can't do stuff unless you're a rogue. Like as far, like it can, it's sort of like a mitten, so it's not very dexterous unless you're a rogue.
Well, does anybody want to make an insight check or a perception check to see how deep the sinkhole might be?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, I just like punched my wine glass.
I do want to make that.
It says I can, I can move it up to 30 feet away. It says I can't attack or activate magic objects, but it doesn't say that I can't
push a button.
Yeah.
Okay. So we could go about 30 feet away from it and then go take a picture.
Well, should we?
Oh, I meant lower it down 30 feet.
Felix and Delalia, from your perception rolls, you're having a hard time figuring out how deep this hole is, but it definitely seems pretty deep. Thea, do you want to try seeing if you can figure out how deep it is?
Perception.
You sing it the same way every time. Whoa.
What?
So she is 21. Really spatially aware.
She's on it.
Just for right now.
Today.
As somebody who falls a lot, she probably is very aware of the big hole.
Thea, you cast Mage Hand, and with your sea glass mage hand, you are able to lower the camera down, and it keeps going and it keeps going, and just when you are getting nervous that you're about to reach the end of your range with this mage hand, you get the sense that it's reached the bottom, and you can assess that the hole is about 25 feet deep.
Oh, before that, I recall Lauren, just so.
Okay. I'm gonna use the mage hand to take a picture.
And then the mage hand slowly rises up from the dark depths of the sinkhole, and it brings the camera back to you. And the camera is making a little like click, 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 like whirring sound as a little piece of parchment comes out with a magically inked image. But all you see, Thea, is darkness. It's just a whole blob of blackness on the paper.
We have to go two more ways, I think, before we can see it.
Okay.
What are all these little railroad tracks?
Those are pieces of what looks like used to be a track for the mining cars.
Let's just take one of those railroad tracks, put Ramsey on it, and lower him down.
It's embedded in the earth.
Oh, okay. Or maybe a barrel lid. Or we could have him stay up here and go outside and keep watch.
I just feel like if somebody's going to go down, it should be one of us who can defend ourselves.
Yeah, it should
be
him.
Yeah, no, I think just the debate is, do I leave my goat or do I take the goat with us? Because I don't know how beneficial he's going to be down there.
True. Why don't we ask Ramsey to go back and get Professor.
Yeah, Professor. We came without the Professor.
We forgot him.
Why don't we ask
Glimgloff?
Glimgloff.
Hey, we're so good at this.
That's my suggestion, Felix.
That is a fantastic idea.
Yeah.
Should we just send Ramses, or should we send somebody who can actually talk?
I can talk. I'm a
I mean, I know I'm just a bunny and, you know, I'm not really super helpful. Oh, here, let me join you.
Perfect.
But I can talk. So, like, if you want me to go
with Rancy, I can. From over there, man.
Well, and you have your armor on, so nothing can... I mean, well, you have my armor.
Yeah, Dashing, that's perfect. Do you remember what Professor Gloomgloff looks like, right?
Yeah, he's got, like, Ramsey the pointy hat.
Yeah.
Yeah, perfect. Well, Ramsey's a goat. Like, he's just a goat. Like, don't put too much intelligence
Delilah
on. Delilah
looks at Felix with disdain.
No, I'm saying that. Not Felix. Like, saying that.
That's Rebecca speaking. Okay, got it.
That's Rebecca speaking. Sorry. Okay. No, so then Kelsey looks at
Rebecca
goat.
Like this.
I'm just this like, he's dang. Just a goat. He is like, I'm like, he knows some tricks, but I'm like, he's not exactly what's that horse from Tangled?
Maximus.
Yeah. He's not quite on the Maximus level. Like he's more like early Disney horses. So he's got some intelligence, but he's not capable of doing an adventure on his own.
So Dashing needs to drive. Ramsey, you will take Dashing to Gloomgloff.
Cool. Yeah, I can do that. Okay. And Dashing hops up onto Ramsey's back and Ramsey kind of shuffles a bit, caught off guard by that. But then Dashing says, okay, Ramsey, we're going to go and we're going to get Professor Gloomgloff. You got it? And Ramsey just looks at you, Felix.
And like Felix just like leans down next to him real close and he says, take care of him. Take care of the prince.
Thanks, and Dash.
Ramsey nods his little goat head and Ramsey and Dash run off out of the cave.
I can't believe we came without the professor. How did we space on that?
I know that. Oops. Bayoman, you're in, man. You are now Felix's second. Okay.
Oh, dear.
It's big responsibility.
Hey, guys. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to ask, I was looking at this journal from my mom's and it said something in there about will-o-wisps being spirits that are caught, and cannot go to rest. I wonder if there's any way to, is there a way to release those?
Ooh, that's a good
idea. If these are spirits that are here because of the beast, then it's possible that maybe their bones are down there and they need to be laid to rest.
Ooh.
I mean,
okay, then that's our goal.
At least that's a lot what happens with ghosts, so in my experience. But I don't know, I've never tried getting rid of will-o'-the-wisps.
A flibberty gibbet, a will-o'-the-wisp, a clown.
A clown.
Oh, man.
Okay, let's go. So that's attached. So that's actually great if that railroad track is attached. I'm going to tie my rope to it so that we can, rappel
scale
down.
Our way down.
Yeah.
Hey, I guess I'm going to point. Oh gosh. I'm just going to watch you and have your back.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I'll go first to show you guys how to do it.
Can you make dancing lights again or is that a cantrip or is that a spell?
Well, we want to make vision. I don't really want to give away our position. I mean, not that we're being particularly stealthy, but you know, it didn't work out so great with the scarecrows.
That's fine. That's okay. Just asking because it's dark down there.
So I'm going to get down there and then I will light a light if it seems like a good idea.
Sounds good.
Okay.
So I go down I go down
it. Make an athletics check, Delilah.
Okay. I go down it.
Should I roll 2 since I'm going after her?
Dirty 20.
Yes.
Awesome. So Delilah, you are able to propel yourself with ease down this sinkhole. But Felix, before you go after her, you watch as Delalia propels down the hole and disappears into the darkness further and further down. Delalia, as you descend into this sinkhole, you are completely surrounded by darkness. Luckily, you have dark vision, so you can see as you go down the sides of the wall around you is earthen. This does not look man-made. This looks like this happened. And when you hit the bottom, you hit a dirt floor. And Delania, make a perception check for me.
I'm so scared.
It's an 11. Ugh.
So Delania, you hit the bottom and you find yourself in an even older, even mustier level of the mine. The air feels thick here and stagnant. You stand in complete darkness except for the occasional will-o-wisp. You hear the sound of running water up and to the right. To your left, you sense something going further down. And immediately in front of you stands a tall, broad figure.
Ew.
No.
Felix, roll athletics to climb down the sinkhole.
God damn it. Watch, I'm going to fall. 16.
So, Felix, it's a little bit more difficult for you, but you are also able to propel down this wall. As you get closer to the bottom, you lose your grip a little bit and you fall just like the last 2 feet. Mm-hmm. So you land on your butt. Yeah. But you can stand up and you see the same thing as Delilia. To your immediate left is what looks like a hole or something that goes further down. To your right, up and to the right, you hear running water. 30 feet in front of you, you see a tall, broad figure in the darkness.
Do you want me to follow you guys or should I stay up here and keep watch?
Sorry, do you want me to follow?
What does it do when I go shh?
Yeah, does it move?
It doesn't move.
Do we have the camera with us?
No, I think Lydia has. Thea has it.
I'm going to stick a torch in the ground to the left of me.
Can I roll either investigation or stealth to try and see if I can get a closer look at it?
Is there enough room for me down there?
Yeah, we just don't know what it is yet. We just don't want you to climb down.
Sophia, do you climb down after your friends?
Yeah. You need to roll
an athletics check. Yeah.
Sorry, strength check or what was it?
Athletics.
Oh, fuck. Got a -2.
Thea, you start to propel yourself down the side of the sinkhole, but you are not used to this sort of athletic challenge. Pretty quickly, you start to lose your footing, and so you just grab onto the rope really tight, and you start to slowly, painfully slide down the rope, and you get major rope burn on your hands.
But I have gloves.
Oh, you do have gloves. Okay. So, but even though you have gloves on, it's hot and you're embarrassed and you land also on your butt on the ground.
Great. That's pretty on brand for you.
I would say so.
I stuck the torch in the ground. I'm going to prestidigitate and light it.
You light the torch, Delilia, and the area around you illuminates. Oh. And you see that the figure in front of you is a statue.
Terrifying statue.
What the hell is the statue?
Yeah, can we investigate the statue?
You can roll. So here, let me tell you what you see now that you've lit this area. So at first glance, your heart skips a beat, thinking that this must be your foe, but you almost immediately realize that this figure is unmoving and made of stone. It is a statue of what looks to be a dwarven man with a prominent, well-groomed beard. You see that he is... Well, actually, that's what you get just from glancing. Go ahead and make an investigation check or a history check if anyone wants to investigate the statue.
Yeah,
I'm going to do history since I'm from here.
I just did it because it has...
I got a 14. Lydia got a 17.
18.
Okay. So, Delilia, you are not sure who this is. You just see what looks to be a dwarven man with a nice beard. You see that he's holding a battle axe in one hand and a shield in the other. Thea and Felix, you recognize this statue as a statue of a prominent dwarven historical figure. This is King Jorak Brightarm, the original ruler of the Helmfire Empire. As you get closer, Felix, you can see that on the shield, there is an image, a crest of the Helmfire Empire, and that is spelled Helmphyre, Helmfire Empire, which was once ruled by the Brightarm clan. This dynasty was conquered after the arrival of the settlers and is now ruled by, and Thea, you would especially know this, King Volante. The Volante family has ruled ever since the defeat and retreat of King Jorak Brightarm. And Helmfire was renamed as Luminary after his defeat.
Oh, shit.
Just some dwarf, huh?
It's not just some dwarf. This was the king of this land before it was conquered by and now run by Luminary.
Whoa. Okay, so it being here tells me that this is potentially an old dwarven mine?
That would make sense.
Not.
What do you think, Felix?
It makes sense that it was a dwarven mine first.
Are the gnomes colonialists? Colonists?
No. make a history check, Felix.
Colonializationalists?
Colonists. Colonizers. There we go.
There we go.
Found it.
Actually, Felix, since you rolled an 18 on your last history check, Felix, you would know that the mines once belonged to the dwarves long, long ago, but the area where Wonder Trundle was created, they didn't take the land from anybody. These mines were abandoned when the dwarves moved further to the east on the other side of the mountain. But it was definitely built by dwarves originally.
We didn't exactly, like, we're not colonists or anything. Where we moved to, nobody lived. These mines were already here, and we don't really use them that much. Sometimes people will just kind of wander in and grab what's, like, if there's something near the entrance, but these mines are really unsafe to be walking around in, especially since we didn't make them. We can't guarantee they're secure.
Okay. Well, I think we should go to the left, where something is further down. I sensed that.
Yep.
And I think that's, I refer to Lorne and I say, that's where you went, right? Down there?
And Lorne, so I'm going to show you on the board first. So to your left, you see that the earth falls away yet again, only this hole doesn't seem quite as deep. And as you three lean over the edge a little bit, Lorne makes an uncomfortable growling, kind of whiny sound, and he curls his tail in a way like a dog would. And as you look over, Thea, a little bit of dirt, kind of like a little chunk of rock, gets knocked down into the hole, and you hear a sort of rattling sound, and you don't know exactly what it is because you can't see, but it sounds like there's something in the hole.
Wait, is from where we came or from where we're going?
Where we're going.
Further down, not from where you came, but just to your left, there's a hole in the ground, and it sounds like there's something down there.
So she's going to say, I think there's something down there.
Do you think we should drop the torch down there and see what happens? I would much rather lure it up here.
Yeah,
that's a really small hole. That's tight.
We could use the camera.
Yeah, if we drop it down there and nothing happens, then we send the camera down.
Yeah, let's do that, because like we only have 8 pictures left now.
Yeah.
Be careful.
Okay, I'm gonna just...
Did we ever figure out a safe word?
For what?
Didn't we discuss like in a previous episode we did that we were going to come up with a safe word?
It was...
I didn't write it down.
Oh, cool.
I'm so good at this.
Are you talking about our red, green, and yellow?
No.
To make sure we're ourselves instead of other people.
It's our secret code word. So that if we're uncertain about somebody, because this thing shapeshifts, so we were like, hey, maybe we should come up with a code word just in case we have one of those, who do you shoot, situations.
Yeah. Because we totally will.
Could we just retcon it?
Probably. I just think it's more fun if you don't, because then if I do find the old one, Glimgloff can be like, oil can, or whatever.
I feel like it was like pineapple or something.
Can. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like pineapple, I was like something with the color yellow, but I couldn't remember what.
Pineapple surprise?
I'm pretty sure it was pineapple. I'm pretty sure it was pineapple.
Okay, I will just say it was pineapple. And even if it's not, the listeners can be like, wait a minute.
Yeah, but they'll let us know.
From this moment forward, it's pineapple.
And so, Felix, leans over and whispers to Thea, if you ever feel like uncertain about who you're talking to, if anything happens, the secret word's pineapple.
It is now.
She just kind of looks at Felix.
I'm not insane. Uh-huh. And he just looks over at Delalia like, this is all your fault.
I think Yolanda was involved. Yolanda messed it up.
Dang it. Well, who made Yolanda?
Oop.
I'm not the DM.
So I didn't make Yolanda.
I know you didn't tell me.
It's your game, Emma.
So, Delalia, do you throw the torch down into the hole?
Here goes. Throw. Platter.
Hey, I'm going to prepare my hands. Okay. I'm prepared.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Sword and shield drawn.
And Lauren, I cover Lauren's little face, like cut my hand to cover his little face so he can hide in it and nestle.
And he does. Delalia, you throw the torch down into the hole, and as it sails through the air, it lands with a big smack on a pile of bones.
Guys, I think we found the will-o-wisps.
Ooh, maybe this will help them. Anyway, we'll wait a safe like 30 seconds to a minute.
I'm going to try and perceive whether, like, what kind of bones they are, if they are human or
animal. Yeah, can we see?
Origin.
Yeah. Go ahead and...
Well, we can see.
I don't know shit about animals, so...
Well, the fire is down there now, so from, like, you can see with the torch, you do see that there are bones. But Thea, it's too hard for you to be able to tell what type of creature these bones might belong to.
Oh, I can't see shit either. Like,
yeah, it's far enough away that Felix and Thea, you're having a hard time. I should say it's far enough down that you're having a hard time gauging like the size of the bones or the shapes of them. It just looks to be the color and the texture of bone.
You said perception.
I can't tell.
Sorry, I should have done it when everybody else did. I just got a 15.
Delalia,
what do your elf eyes see?
Delalia, with your elf eyes, you peer into the hole and you see that the bones appear smaller than elven bones. And you would think that these bones belong to a mixture of both animals and maybe small humanoid creatures.
I think it's a mixture of animals and or small humanoid figures. And I look at Felix like, and I put my hand on his shoulder like a...
Yep. Well, is there anything moving down there?
I think it's time to send down the camera.
Okay. I'm going to use my mage hand. I'm going to lower that thing down and take a picture and try to aim it away from... Actually, I don't know shit about cameras because cameras were just invented. So yeah, I'm just going to take a picture.
Click. And the hand floats back up again with the camera. I actually gave it a name post-session. I called it the... What was it? The flash and click? The click and flash? The click
okay.
and flash.
Cool. Retcon. I sent the click and flash.
And it clicks, and there's a little flash, and then it levitates back up, and it makes the little whirring sound, the mechanical sound, and out comes a piece of parchment. And this one does, it contains a picture with the outline of bones, just a giant whole pit of bone.
Can we tell from the picture? Well, I guess we already know that some of them are humanoid. Well, it doesn't look like there's anything other than what we can see down there. Zimmer
so
did say that
bones?
The click and flash would show us deceptions, right? Like it would see through deception?
Yeah, but maybe it wasn't facing in the right direction.
I don't know.
I'll be a kind DM. You get the sense that what you see is what you get with this hole.
This is a trash pit. Cool.
Yeah.
All right.
No, literally, Delalia, you get the sense that this is like a trash pit. Like this is where
it disposes of
it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think we should keep going. So that was to the left. I know that there's water running this way, up and to the right, and then there's another way. Lauren, do you think we should? Is this the way you went down this way?
Lorne looks at you and then he looks towards the fork in the road, which goes off in three different directions. And you get the sense that he didn't go any further than this. So he's not sure. He sends you the feeling of uncertain anxiety.
Oh, okay. Well, you know what? Let's go up and to the left. Why not?
Okay, I'll follow your lead.
All right, I go up and to the left. I'm going to light a new torch.
Okay. So yeah, Delivia, you walk into this room and it's completely dark when you walk in, but thanks to the torch, you are able to illuminate the room. You see a few crates, you see an old cart, and you see a will-o-wisp floating about the room, making like little circles. It doesn't seem to be super phased by you. Roll perception for me.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, sorry. I thought I might have unplugged myself.
17.
Whoa. You guys see real well. 23, Thea. You guys passed as the will-o-wisp is making 15, Felix. So all of you, as you walk into the room, you notice that there it's a small square room. It's not a room in the sense that, like, you know, it's a room, but it's like an area of the mine that was carved out by whoever made the mine before. And you see crates, you see an old cart, like that someone would use to take gems and stones in and out of the mine. You also see a will-o-wisp floating around. And in the far corner in the room, on the far wall of the room, you see a candle placed on top of a crate.
A candle?
Mm-hmm. A candle.
And it's not lit?
And it's not lit.
I'm going to light it.
Wait!
Why would there just be a candle?
Why is there a candle?
I press to digitate it. I don't go over to it.
Okay.
Why are you measuring?
Yep. Yeah, it's never a good sign.
Why are you measuring?
Why didn't you check with us before you lit the damn candle?
You already made your decision.
I said it.
Okay. This is fun. This is fun. This is D&D. This is fun.
Whenever you say this is fun, I get the feeling that you would make a good dominatrix.
Mm-hmm.
I think I would. Hello. So, Delalia, almost instinctively, you press to digitate, lighting this candle, which is it's made of black wax.
Oh, good. Oh, good.
As you light the candle,
if I know that, I might not want it.
As you light the candle, you see that some like runes begin to glow along the side of it, like lighting up, like in a bright golden light. And Thea and Felix, you watch as in an instant the room is filled with like darkness, just like pure darkness. Everything, like, it comes out of the candle and everything is just whoop, enveloped in darkness. And then a flash goes by and it all gets sucked back in.
Delalia.
And Delalia and the Will-O-Wisp are gone.
Oh, where did she go? Did you see where she went? How did she...
What do I roll? What do I roll? Would that be insight, history? Have I heard of this before? Fuck!
You can roll insight or history, Felix.
Damn it, that's an 11.
I'm gonna do the same. Would Arcana be a thing?
Yeah, you could roll Arcana for this, Thea.
Yeah, Felix is gonna run into the room and kind of look around and see, like...
I got a 20. Got a dirty 20. What'd I see?
Okay, I'll do it in this order. So Felix, you run in and you're looking around and you're just like, what do I do? Felix is kind of freaking out. He doesn't know what to do. Thea, you, by the goddess, are familiar with this magical item. You recall reading about it in a particularly frightening book from the library about dark magical objects. You think to yourself, oh my goodness, this must be the nightmare flame.
Whoa.
And Thea, I'm gonna send you something. I'm gonna send something to Lydia. So Delalia, you light this candle and a moment later you are surrounded by darkness and you feel yourself getting pulled through the air. And it's like you're being apparated. It's like apparating or going through flu powder in the world of Harry Potter. You feel your body being pulled at an incredibly fast speed. And then all at once, it's just done. And you are, Delalia, you're standing outside of a cave and you see that there is a puppy and it's stuck in a tunnel in the cave and it can't get out.
Well, is there any of it out?
Its whole top half is in this cave and it's like, and it's scratching and it's trying so passionately to get out. It sounds like it's in pain.
Oh gosh, yeah, I go try to help it.
Delilah, you put your arms around its belly and you pull to try to pull it out, and you pull hard and you pull hard and nothing that you're doing is working. And it sounds like it's even more pain.
Okay, I'm going to press to digitate on it, on the cave itself, and warm it up slightly. Not like hot, but just warm. I'm hoping that it'll become a little bit like less grabby. Science.
Roll a d20. Just like a pure d20.
Okay. Got an 18.
All right. In this world, you heat up the stone using your prestidigitation, and it does seem to sort of bend a little bit and shift under your magic, and the puppy's wiggling around, and it seems like it's a little bit more loose, but it's still crying and whimpering.
Okay.
And what do you do?
I'm gonna fit my hands in as much as I can around it to try to like direct its head where is a better spot or whatever.
Delilah, you put your hand up and inside the cave and you can feel its little head, and then you feel like its ear in your hand, and then you pull out and you're holding the puppy's ear. It's not bloody or anything, but it's just an
fuzzy ear. Yeah.
It's a fuzzy ear in your hand.
God. I'm just gonna, at this point I feel desperate, so I'm going to push up on its little arms and push down on its little head and pull it out.
You're doing that, Delilah, and you're pulling it out, and you realize it's starting to work and you're pulling it out, but as the puppy comes out, you realize that it's falling apart and it's not bloody or anything. It's just like different parts of a puppy. Like, yeah, crumbling. Let's say, like, as you pull it out, you realize that the puppy is starting to crumble into dust.
Oh my God.
And Lauren. That's when I'm gonna... And Lauren isn't there. Actually, no, wait, Lauren. Okay, yeah.
You should be with
Lauren,
me.
Lauren isn't there, Delilah.
Lauren!
And I leave you there as you look for Lauren. I'm going to jump back to Princess Thea and Felix.
Oh my goddess. Oh my goddess. She's in a pocket dimension. I can't believe she lit that thing without talking to us. What is it? It's a nightmare flame. What is that? it took her somewhere else. When she lit it, it took her to another dimension, and she is sitting there with her worst fear, and the only way she can get out is if she figures it out how to conquer that fear. DM, is the candle still lit?
It's still lit.
Okay, we have to keep this candle lit. If it goes out, she will die. I don't
know. So there's nothing we can do?
I don't know. I'm gonna do just like in the stories to see if my mom knows.
Yay! What is wrong with me?
Lauren there?
I want to give you advantage because I love that. I just feel like you deserve advantage right now.
Yes, she
I love
does. That
you did really good on your history
I
roll.
I do have an inspiration point.
Yes, 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 yes.
Yeah, you can add it to the five.
So does that
Whatever
mean that
you roll,
I? Do I roll
you
again?
Can roll a d6.
D6.
You can roll a d6 and then add that to the five.
Nine.
Yay, that's nine. Okay, good thinking, Lydia.
Oh, thanks.
All right, so Lydia,
oh God,
you're fervently looking through your mom's journal, and the pages start to magically flip open, and the journal like slams down onto the floor, and the pages flip, 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 like it's the page master or something. And the page that's left open, you see that your mother has drawn a picture of this candle, and inside the journal, it says that the only way for someone on the outside to save someone that is inside the candle is for that person to also go inside the candle, conquer their worst fear, and then try to help the other person get out. Because once you're inside the candle and you conquer your fear, you can become aware of the other people that are in the candle with you.
Mm-hmm. I have to go in.
Wait, you? What?
I have to
go
in.
No, that sounds dangerous.
That's the only way to get her out. The only way to get her out is if one of us goes in and conquers our worst fear, and then we can find her. Because I guess when you, I don't know, the book says that if you can conquer your worst fear, you see all the other people that are in there with you, and then you can get out. So somebody has to stay and guard the flame and make sure it doesn't go out, and somebody else has to go in knowing that they will face their worst fear, and they have to defeat it, or else we will lose Delalia and Lauren.
Is Lauren in his own pocket dimension?
Yes.
Can we do that one next?
Yes. And Felix, very seriously, you know, takes her by the shoulders and looks her dead in the eyes and says, "What is your greatest fear?"
I'm afraid of losing the people I love. I'm afraid of losing Dashing and losing you and Delalia. I've already lost so much. But I can do this. If I want to get her back, I have to defeat that fear. Can you stay here and guard the flame? You've always been better in a fight than me. I think this has to be me.
I trust you. You can do this, okay? Just remember, whatever you see in there, it's not real. Okay?
Okay.
Be careful.
Tell Dashing if anything happens. Could you just tell him? I mean, he probably knows. And she goes over to the candle and does the thing. And now she's in a pocket dimension.
And Felix hears,
"Just take it.
Don't you fucking dare."
Oh my god.
Oh,
the release of trust.
Yeah. Now you're alone, Felix.
I am.
Yikes.
I don't like this.
You have a weasel?
So many ways.
Don't you have a weasel?
Thea, you use your prestidigitation to light the flame as well, even though it's already lit. You go through the action of lighting it. And actually, Felix, do you want to make sure that you step back before she does that?
Felix definitely goes back to where he was before. Yeah.
Okay. So Thea, you use prestidigitation to light the candle, and the exact same thing happens. The darkness expands out in a flash, and then in an instant, it goes back into the candle, and Felix, Thea is gone. And Thea, you wake up. And we're going to have to do some like collaboration on this one, because I was just riffing on what Kelsey said earlier for her fear. Lydia, where do you think Princess Thea finds herself?
I think she's on stage. I think she's on the festival stage. But it's like weird and like dark and terrifying, like bad torture dungeon. Like everything is just like kind of off. And it's dark.
Except there's like one big spotlight on you, like shining right in Thea's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And in the distance, Thea, you see like a long table of people. And it's all people you know. It's your dad and your brother and Prince Leonardo and the perfect Princess Rosalind. And they're all jeering at you. You see your father looking so disappointed. And you see Dashing leaning over to Princess Rosalind, and you just know that he's saying something about you, and she laughs. And Prince Leonardo just looks aghast, like, oh, and then you hear him say, oh, I have to marry that. And the crowd, Lethea, they're booing you. They're booing you. And you see over off stage, oh my God, what was his name? The bard that I created. What was his
name? Lawrence.
Sir Lawrence is off stage, Princess Thea, and he's like, he has his hands over his face and he's just like shaking his head like he's just so frustrated with you. And he says, you have to do something. Sing. Why are you just standing there like a buffoon?
Where are my friends? Where are Felix and Delalia?
And you say that, and you hear a familiar voice of Delalia, and she says, "Friends? We're not your friends." And you look down, and in the front row, you see Delalia and Felix and Harlow and Elisariel and Sabine, and now Mavery's there, and Mavery's husband, and then all of the people that you've met. Like, the more you look, the more familiar faces you see. And Felix says, "Did you really think that we were your friends? You are so pathetic." And Delalia says, "Yeah, isn't that right, Dash?" And like from up on the table, Dash is like, "Totally right, Delalia. You're such a better sister."
Oh. And I'm just gonna, she just kind of like sinks a little. She says, but I thought we
do this, Thea.
I thought we were friends. I thought we were in this together.
Felix, are you saying that in the room?
Yeah.
What is Felix saying?
Well, Felix is, he's like just kind of standing over the candle, like just in case anything just pops out of nowhere. And he's just kind of just muttering to it, but he's like, "Come on, Thea, I know you can do this. You've got this. I trust you."
Thea, make a wisdom saving throw with advantage.
Okie doke.
Got a 19. Nice. So Thea, as you're saying that, you hear very softly, like in the back of your head, you hear Felix's voice saying that. And you have a moment where you remember, like, "Wait a minute, I was just in a cave. I was just in the mine."
She shakes her head like she's trying to clear away like cobwebs. And she goes, "Wait a minute. My friends would never talk to me like that. They love me. My brother loves me. And my father, even if he's scared of what I can do, I know that he loves me. This can't be real. This can't be real. There's a real Felix and a real Delalia and a real Dashing out there, and they need my help, and I'm going to help them."
And all of the audience members, they glare Thea, and they start to throw tomatoes, and the cabbage man throws a cabbage at you. My cabbages!
But he's doing it triumphantly. My cabbages!
My cabbages!
But their faces contort and twist into just like nightmarish, like little ghostly, like just faces in the darkness. They're not even like people anymore. And they even start to like morph together to just become a blob of like angry, scary faces. And they come together and they create like a big angry looking monster that's towering over you, Thea, and it like glares down at you and it says,
"You are nothing. You are weak. Nobody loves you. You are worthless."
"I am Princess Thea Penrose of Highgard, and I am more powerful than you could ever conceive of."
Bitch.
And my skin is off of my body.
I'm like, yeah, I'm like tingles right now.
This is an intense situation. Yeah. And even though she's not like panicking, like freaking out, like,
yes,
you know what I mean?
Bitch.
Like, this is an intense, God, I want you to roll a
d20.
I know. I hope it's not something undignified.
So apropos.
Oh, God.
10. Oh my gosh. We haven't done this in so long. I'm so excited. We haven't done this in so long.
Just the trauma of Lydia's character having so many surprises. Like, I can't. Surprises are my worst enemy.
Sophia, you say that, and your magic inside of you just begins to glow, and your whole body starts to glow this sea glassy color, and it just shoots out from your body, and it hits the creature, and the creature recoils and hisses, and it starts to like disintegrate into steam and smoke as it hisses. But you stand in your own power, Princess Thea. What do you do?
"Friends, my saving me from stop me nothing?"
Did you say that again?
What? Friends, my saving from me stop will nothing.
And the monster like stops for a minute and it gives you a look. Like, what
monster is like, oh. You want to take that one again?
But it looks like it's in a weakened state, Thea. Like you could knock it out if you gave it one really good hit.
Okay.
I'm going to pull out my crossbow and shoot at it and say, gun be.
Roll. Click on the crossbow word in the character sheet. Can't talk. Oh my God. I think if you just click. All right, yeah, you rolled a 16, Thea. You shoot your crossbow, and it hits the monster right in one of its eyes, and the monster's like, and it begins to, it continues disintegrating and melting into smoke and goo and grossness. And you stand there on this stage, and the audience starts, it all kind of starts to fade away. The wings start to fade away, and it all just fades into nothingness for a moment. And then you turn around and you see a figure. You turn around and you see your mother looking at you.
Mama?
And she doesn't say anything, but she's just standing there, beautiful, tall, graceful, just everything that you've ever... Everything that you have ever felt like you had to be and wished you could be. Actually, she's casting a rather large shadow and you realize that you're standing in it.
Mm. You miss I, Mama.
And she looks down at you and she doesn't say anything.
You think? Bye, good.
And... she starts to just disintegrate just like the monster did, and it's not gross or anything. She just starts to disappear into the air and you're left alone and everything fades away into darkness. And then you come back to yourself and you are floating in space and you look, you're weightless and you look around you and you see off above you in two different directions. Delalia, and then Lorne, each floating, apparently unconscious in this space.
Delalia, Lorne, me to come.
This is awful. Oh, no.
And we hop back into Delalia's world, Delalia's encounter. Delalia, you have all these bits of puppy just like falling apart around you. And then, whoosh, you find yourself in a completely new situation. What is it?
So it's another cave hole and Lauren's in there. But all that's poking out is his little face.
No!
And it looks like he's been crushed, not dead crushed, but it looks like he's got a lot of hard, heavy stone on top of him and he's squirming and he's wriggling and he's like, meow, meow, calling out for you to help him. And he's sending you a feeling, Delalia. You get this like huge wave of just this pang of like pain, fear, confusion. Why won't you help me? Why won't you help me? Why won't you help me?
And I say, come on, little guy, come on. And I'm just like down on my knees because it's like down toward the ground. And I'm like, hey, buddy, we got, you're going to be okay. We're going to get you out of there. Is there any, can I move the stone? Can I do anything to get him out?
Roll athletics.
Kelsey, I want to give you a hug. Like, I know,
me too. Let me know if it's too much.
12.
Okay, so you start moving stones aside, and it's just hard because there's just a lot of stone. And you move stone, and then a little bit more seems to kind of fall in its place. And he's still alive. He's just really scared in this situation, and he doesn't know what to do because he feels totally out of control.
Yeah. I'm going to... Oh, there's nothing I can do. I'm going to, I'm going to just keep doing it. I'm going to keep moving stones and keep comforting him and telling him with my words that it's going to be okay and that he's going to be all right and that I'm going to save him and that he just needs to be patient and, you know, just, it's okay, buddy. We got this. And trying not to show him how scared I am because there will be a time when it's too late. And I know that, but I don't want him to know that.
And you keep doing that, Delalia. And as you do that, eventually, very gradually, he starts to calm down and you feel a sense of relief because now he's not freaking out. He seems to be somewhat calm, but you also start to realize that you're not going to be able to get all of this stone off him by yourself. And you're just sitting there and you're holding him and you're petting him and you're cooing to him. And at some point you realize that Lorne is gone. And he just like literally like vanishes.
Oh,
and you're
good.
Just sitting there alone. You're sitting there alone.
Oh my God.
I think I I think I just probably just lay down and just bury my face in the rock and just cry and sob and scream and just like Delalia doesn't let go, you know, but in this situation she completely falls apart and just has, she's just so scared.
Thea, what do you say? Can I touch her? Can I go to her, or does it have to just be with voice?
You can float on over to her.
Well, Thea's going to float over and try and touch Delalia like gently on the arm. And she's going to say, Delalia, upwake Delalia.
And Thea, you see that Delalia is crying.
Upgive don't, please.
Delalia, you hear that. You hear just like in the back of your head a very faint voice saying,
upgive don't, please.
Make a wisdom saving throw with advantage.
I got a natural 20, so 23.
Damn.
Because of the power of friendship, Delalia.
Yes.
You realize as you're crying there, like I imagine she's kind of just like curled up in a ball in the fetal position, just like bawling. You realize, wait a minute. You were just in a cave and Lorne wasn't trapped. Lorne was with you. He was in your clavage. Lorne isn't dead.
And I sit up and my face like hurts from hitting, you know, scraping on the rock. And I'm just like, who is that? Because I remember hearing a voice just now.
Me, it's Thea.
Thea?
Yes!
Where?
Here! Here I am!
Can I see her?
You can't see her, but you can hear her. And as you look around, Delalia, the cave, the area that you're in, starts to fade away. And similar to what happened with Thea, as the terrain around you starts to fade away, you look around you and you see a figure very close by. It is a cloaked figure holding a shepherd's crook, looking at you.
Numair.
And you can't see their face, but a hand reaches out towards you and you see that they beckon to you. And in this scenario, you get the sense that this is Numair coming to take you.
Oh. I understand. And I walk toward them.
Delalia. Delalia. Hold on, let me write this out so I can say it.
Okay.
Going, you are where? Delalia. Me leave, don't. Please,
it's okay.
Me leave, don't.
I love you.
No.
Can I take their hand?
Yes.
What does it feel like?
Delalia, you take their hand and it feels warm and comforting.
Can Thea see Numair?
No, you just see Delalia like lying in front of you, basically floating in space, and you're next to her holding her.
Can I say goodbye?
The cloaked figure nods their head.
And I want to go to Thea and Felix and tell them goodbye. I think that Delalia would want to do that, and it seems that Numair is allowing me to.
The cloaked figure waves its hand, and Felix and Thea appear next to you. And they look so sad, Delalia. They're crying. They're bawling.
It's okay, guys. It's time.
Real Thea is going to say, me too, back come. Real not its. Real not its.
Can I hear that?
Mm-hmm.
Thea, why are you talking crazy?
No, don't I. Real not its. Back to me come. Or to me back come. Pineapple!
Oh. Oh, okay. Shit.
Hand my take.
Numeris just still looking at you, Delalia, and Felix, and the Felix and Thea that you see are just like bawling their eyes out, grieving you.
Hey, Numer, I might need to go, but I'm 100% down to go with you when it's appropriate. I have just been informed that this isn't real, though. So we're going to need to sort of pump the brakes on this one. But I'm really happy to know it's going to be you when it's time.
The Thea and Felix you see disappear in a puff of smoke, and the Numair you see grows larger and more ominous looking, and it reaches out a hand for you this time, but it's not to take your hand gently. It reaches out for you like it's going to grab you.
Hey, guess what? You know what's scarier than whatever the hell you're doing? Kildora, okay? I'm not intimidated by this. You're embarrassing. And I walk away.
Delalia, you invoke the name of the goddess Kildora and something happens.
Yes!
Yes!
Delalia, roll a D. Can you roll a D4? Let's roll a D4.
Oops, I accidentally rolled four of them. The first one is four. I went mad.
Oh, this is so good.
A green light shoots from your hand, Delalia, and envelops your entire body. You feel the power of Kildora coursing through you, and you do see that that green, that kind of bark travels further up your arm, but you are so inspired and so empowered by feeling her presence that it doesn't even frighten you. And what do you do?
I'm going to... Okay, so I feel Kildora go run through me or whatever you said. And Numair's still standing there trying to be spoopy. And so I say, go get him, Bill. And I send Bill at Numair, but apparently I get to send two Bills at Numair.
Yo!
Wait, do you have to use your vulvas?
No.
Fuck yeah.
Delalia, no. You extend your hand and two mastiff-sized bills shoot from your palm and land on the floor of this strange world. But not only is it just Bill, it is two mastiffs, and both of them are... They both look like the wolves that you saw and you met. They have vines and leaves on them, and you have summoned two... Forest Mastiffs, one of which
forest
is Bill.
Mastiffs! Bill! Okay, so they attack.
I love this. Delalia, how do they take this spooky shadow creature down?
One of them grabs their left ankle, and the other, so that they can't run away, the other one jumps up and, like, bites Numair's throat and rips at it. And Numair just like falls to the ground, cloak and staff empty of person.
Yes. And bitch. As their form disappears, you realize that that's not the real Numair, and that wasn't the real Felix and Thea. And you are in a mine with your friends, and then something happened. You realize that you were in a mine, you lit a candle, and then you were here.
Oh, man. And- Oh!
Delalia?
Oh, man. Don't just light stuff. Oh, my gosh. Crap. Okay. So I start to go. Am I still, like, in the rocky part, or am I in a different place?
I was going to say, as you have that realization, it all starts to melt away. Okay. And now just you look around you and behind you, or you look up, actually, and you're being cradled in the arms of your friend, Thea.
Thea!
Here I'm.
Yay! You're still talking weird. Oh my gosh.
Hello, listeners. This is your DM, Emma Carter. I'd like to take a moment to thank you, the listener, for pressing play. If you want to connect with us on social media, maybe say hi or give us a shout out, make sure to follow us at The Spell Pod on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. If you share this podcast and tag us or hashtag The Spell Pod, I'll put your name on my NPC naming list. So gently caress that share button if you too want to become a part of our femtastical, spellbound universe. Also, if you have ever thought about starting your own podcast, but aren't really sure which host site to use, we recommend Buzzsprout. Buzzsprout is our host site, meaning that's where we upload all of our episodes, and then Buzzsprout works its magic to get our shows listed on every major podcast platform. With Buzzsprout, you'll get a great-looking podcast website, audio players that you can drop into other websites, detailed analytics to see how people are listening, which is one of my favorite aspects, as well as tools to promote your episodes, like those sound bites that we share. Podcasting isn't hard when you have the right partners, and the team at Buzzsprout is passionate about helping you succeed. If you're ready to give Buzzsprout a whirl, make sure you follow the link in the show notes, and that'll let Buzzsprout know that we sent you, which gets you a $20 Amazon gift card if you sign up for a paid plan, and it also helps support our show. Also, I think that the world deserves to hear your podcast. Don't deny the world an opportunity to hear your voice and to hear your stories. All right, let's get back to our heroes. Two forest mastiffs appear when Delalia wakes up.
We have new bills.
Bills. One more. Are there?
Yeah.
Wow.
And they're foresty. We gotta get Lorne.
Lorne wears.
Jinx.
And I'll pause you guys there, and I want to go back to Felix. All right, so Felix. This whole time, you've been patiently waiting outside this candle, whispering sweet encouragement to Thea. A couple minutes go by, and you hear the familiar voice of Silver Tongue whispering in ear, and Silver Tongue says, "There must be treasure in this mine."
Now? Really?
Let's go find it.
Not right now. What is that?
This is the perfect time.
What do I roll for that?
Roll a wisdom saving throw.
Okay, but before that, he says, "My friends are in danger. Now is not the time to go souvenir hunting."
They'll never know.
I can't find my wisdom. It's because I don't have any wisdom. I'm in here. It's a 10.
Not good enough.
Fuck!
Felix, you feel compelled to go poking around and look for some treasure.
No,
where do you go?
You're supposed to watch our candle.
I'm trying.
You had one job.
What's in the?
You see a path up to the right, and then you also see the path back where you came from.
Okay, I will say this. Felix really did want to go down that hole.
The hole with the bones in it?
Yeah, because the only thing he could think of is, what if she's down there?
Yep.
There's no treasure down there, though.
Not your kind of treasure, but...
Roll another wisdom saving throw, because Silver Tongue doesn't care about bones. Or Myra.
Damn it, it's an 8.
He says,
no, we want gems, jewels, gold, silver.
And I guess Felix is going to make his way down that hallway, because he is no wisdom. He is a good boy, but a dumb boy.
Aww.
We still love him.
Felix, you make your way down this hallway. Do you have any kind of light, or are you just going with dark vision?
It's just dark vision. I don't have anything lit right now, except the candle.
So, Felix, you're walking down the hallway. Are you trying to be stealthy at all?
Yes.
Roll stealth.
Oh, this is going to fucking suck.
Of all the times.
Oh, now I roll. Okay, it's a 16.
You are very sneaky. Silvertongue is helping you sneak, your best sneak, as you go around this corner. And you see it's just a small room. It looks like there's nothing in here. Make a perception check.
I don't like any of this. It's an 8.
Nice. It looks like there's nothing in here. And you walk around a little bit, kind of feeling for things. You sense that, oh, there might be something tucked behind this stalagmite over here. But as you do that, you hear a shh from up on the ceiling. And you look up and you see a bunch of little eyes open and look at you.
Ah, shit.
And then all of a sudden, the room is filled with bats that are just flying around. Make a dexterity saving throw.
Stupid fucking sword. Gonna get killed. 20. Dirty 20.
You like dive bomb onto the ground and just cover your head as the bats all swarm around, and then they whoosh, 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 fly down the hallway and
the candle.
Out. Oh, ooh. Okay, I'll roll to see if they go into the room with the candle.
No, go!
Okay, they don't go into the room with the candle. I was going to say if it was a 10 or over, they go into the room with the candle, and I rolled a 9. So they go the other way. You hear them like flutter off towards to where you heard the water, sound of water.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Uh-huh. Or not Jesus Christ. But.
Look, there must be something in here. Look, fool, look. It's bats. That's all. That's, we're in a cave.
Make an investigation check, Felix.
Yeah, I'm looking. He's just yelling at it while he's doing it. Fine, I'll do it, but I'm going to complain the entire way. 20.
Ooh. Okay. Felix, you find a bag on the floor. It looks to be a very simple burlap sack. Really nondescript. And actually, Silvertongue says,
worthless. Worthless.
Well, hang on. Let's see what's inside. Patient.
As you open it and look inside, you see that it is a bag that has 5 acorns in it.
Oh. Acorns.
Keep it. Whatever it is.
All right.
Do you want to do any kind of, like, investigation?
He's just going to kind of look at him like it's just in, like... Is this something he can feed to something? Are these magical? 18.
What did you roll? Investigation? Okay. So for investigation, you can detect that these are very much, in fact, acorns. They are in good shape. They are round and smooth and attractive to look at. Roll Arcana, Felix. Sorry, I should have told you to roll Arcana.
Oh. 11.
Yeah, they seem like acorns.
Yeah. He just takes the one in his hand and just kind of, all right. And just kind of, like, he just kind of tosses the bag to the floor and just tosses the other one over his shoulder. Like, all right, we found acorns. Hurrah.
You toss it over your shoulder. Okay, yeah, you toss the acorn over your shoulder. It just lands on the floor with a da-da-da-da-da, and it just, now it's just sitting there on the floor. Hmm.
Can you guys hear those gongs?
No.
No.
Okay, good.
All right. Felix just picks up the bag and goes.
Oh, wait, oh wait, no, I know. Now, sorry. What's his name? The weasel.
Bam.
And Bayoman says, what? And he scrambles out of your hat and down onto the floor, and he goes over to the acorn and he like picks it up and he like bites into it, and then he like hits like taps it and then like hits it on the floor, and he looks at it kind of confused, and then he like looks at you and he shrugs and he makes like a bleh, like I don't want to eat that.
Not face. Edible. All right. Like he holds out his hand for the acorn.
And Bayman just hands it to you. But he grabs the bag and he looks at you like,
Well, if you think so. And like he just tosses the other acorn back in the bag and just kind of ties it around his belt. And he's like, maybe Ramsay's laid him. And he offers his hand for Bayman to hop back on his shoulder.
And he does.
Okay, can we go back to the candle now? Have you had your fun?
We haven't found anything of value yet.
I don't think we're going to find anything of value yet. Well, you must host.
Oh my god, I'm turning into Yami Bakura from Yu-Gi-Oh! Now. Come on, landlord. Did you guys ever watch Yu-Gi-Oh!
Yes! Sebastian loves it.
Rebecca, tell Sebastian that I love Yu-Gi-Oh! And I love... Okay, there's a whole thing. Anyway, long story short, Yugi and Ryu both have spirits living in their bodies. And in all the fan fiction, Bakura's Yami, his darkness that's living in him, calls him landlord. And so it's always like... I don't know how to say it in Japanese. It's like Donoshanji or something. But that's what I'm thinking Silver Tongue is now. He's like, come on, host. You must do my bidding.
I love it.
And then we will get all the Millennium items. I love it.
He's going to try and resist again. Guys. Damn it. It's a 10. I'm just not doing good.
Don't resist.
I'm not resisting well today.
Go the other way. Maybe there's something down that hall.
He gestures. He leads you to go down the back where you came from.
All right. So I guess we head that way. Here we go. You end up treasure hunting.
Back in the room with the statue. Where do you go from there?
Are you sure you don't want to go down the hole? Like, I don't feel comfortable leaving. What about the statue? And like, he like looks at the statue. Like, is there anything on this? Do you want anything on the statue?
It looks just to be like a statue to me. I want gems, rubies, diamonds.
We got it. Okay. And he just continues walking down the hallway. He's had just about enough of this sword.
Heading down the pathway to the right of where you first entered, you find an opening in the wall that looks out onto a stream, which appears to be running from further up in the mountain. So it's running from up higher in the mountain, down the mountain, and you seem to be close to the bottom of it. Give me a perception check, Felix.
12.
Okay. Felix. Silver Tongue, you see the blade of Silver Tongue kind of leads you towards the water, almost like a divining rod, and it says to you,
I sense something worth value. Yes, I sense something worth taking.
And you notice in the river, Felix, towards the bottom of it, or actually not a river, you notice in this little stream that there seems to be a figure like at the bottom of the stream. The water doesn't look very deep, maybe 5 feet. However, the current is strong. It could easily sweep you away if you didn't take precautions. And Silver Tongue says,
yes, there is something down there. Get it for me, host.
Are you trying to get me killed? Never mind, I know the answer to that.
Of course I don't want you dead. I want you to do my bidding.
Okay. Can I take out my rope and tie it around, like, a sturdy rock or something that's not going to go anywhere?
Yeah.
I may just end up drowning myself, but...
Let's do a little fun thing that God can do sometimes.
Yay!
Let's just, like, move this stalagmite a little closer to you. If I can remember how to, like, get on the right layer.
Thank you, God!
Oh, look! It's right there! It was there the whole time!
God made you special, and he loves you very much.
Okay, and so Felix is going to tie the rope to the stalagmite, and he's going to tie the other end around his waist. Just to kind of, if the stream pulls him into, like, he has something he can try and pull himself back to shore. And he's gonna go, or a wade and or a swim, whatever is, and he's gonna try and get it.
I'm awesome. Not looking forward to this. So let's have you roll something, Felix. You could roll athletics, since this is a very athletic thing to do. Yeah, I think that would probably be like either athletics or sleight of hand to try and get whatever this thing is in the water.
I'm going to do athletics. That's a five. That's a five.
Oh, no. Felix, you wade into the water and immediately... Yes, you can use inspiration.
I've been hoarding those.
Aw.
What do I roll for that?
A d6. Just, and then you add that to your 5.
If I roll a 1, I swear to God.
8. Felix, you step into the river, and the current is much stronger than you thought it was just by looking at it, and you feel yourself getting pulled like as the current pulls you along, but then you stop because your rope is tied pretty tightly to that stalagmite, and so now you're just kind of bobbing in the water, and it's uncomfortable because the water is kind of going up above your head.
Mm-hmm.
You're going under, like
I'm drowning. This is great.
Oh no, Felix is drowning, and you guys are in a candle.
This is fantastic.
Make a saving throw of some kind, like maybe athletics saving throw to stay above water, or dex or constitution saving throw to weather the pull of the stream.
Can I do a strength to try and pull myself with the rope back up, like back? My goal is to keep my head above water and to also get back to where I'm trying to get.
Yeah, then let's do.
Because I figured he's fighting the current.
Let's do I almost said constipation.
Please don't.
Let's do constitution for keeping your head above
I'm
water.
Roll
like
for constipation.
Cool.
14. Those butts. So Felix, are tight.
Oh my God.
You can't poop, friend.
You can't say these things, Emma. I will go on them.
You're floating in the river like a little poop.
Yep.
Thank you.
Felix, you're able to keep yourself above water.
Okay.
You're able to right yourself, and now you're kind of you feel the rhythm of the stream, and you're like, okay, now I'm more secure. So you're above the water. Next to try and get this thing would be athletics or dexterity.
I'm gonna roll dexterity because athletics has done me no favors. You have failed me, dexterity. That is a 4. I am not doing great. This is not a fun. This is not a fun time.
No, you're not. You're failing horribly, host.
Thank you, Silvertongue. I love the support is just insurmountable.
This is how I motivate
you. Try.
You will try or you will die.
You try.
Fine.
I die, you get stuck down here.
Silvertongue, like the sword, like vibrates a little bit towards the thing under the water, and it's like it's trying to reach it. But it's a sword. It's a sword.
This greedy little sword.
Felix, you can try again. Like, if you want to dive underneath, maybe roll, or what would you like to try to do? It's about, so this thing, this object, whatever it is about 5 feet underwater, and you're currently, like, floating at the top of the water.
Okay, I'm going to try and swim down, because I feel like the waves hitting me is not doing me any favors, so maybe if I swim underneath and try to just swim straight towards it and then go up, I can pull myself to whenever. So... Okay.
Roll athletics again.
11.
11. Okay. So you are swimming as best you can, trying to get straight down. It's hard, though. That current is strong. But this time, as you're trying to swim down, you do get a better look at what this thing is. It looks like a skeleton with armor on it.
Like, he can't say anything because he's holding his breath, but he's just like, armor? Really?
And the silver tongue at your side in the water vibrates, and you hear the voice in your head, and it says,
"Yes, that is something valuable. You must retrieve it."
All right.
And he's just going to swim towards it. He's going to try and get it.
One more athletics check.
14.
14. Okay. So Felix, this time as you're swimming, you
sword.
Get closer and closer. You're starting to run out of air. You can feel your lungs are burning, and you reach down and you grab at this skeleton in armor, and you are able to lift it up. It's heavy, but you're able to lift it up with you, and with using the rope, you can pull yourself towards the shore. It's difficult. So you've got this thing, you've got the armor in your hands and you're pulling yourself towards the shore. And you kind of just like throw it up onto the shoreline and it rests there and you gasp for breath and pull yourself up onto the shoreline and just have to like lie there for a minute breathing.
I hated that. I hated every minute of that. I want you to know. And Felix looks over at looks over at the armor. And he's just like, it's fine. And can he look at it, like investigate it? 17. Now it rolls nice.
Felix, you realize that you have pulled from the bottom of this stream the skeleton of what looks to be a dwarf.
Ugh.
And you would assume that because they're wearing dwarven plate armor. And you see that even though it's been underwater for some time, it's not in horrible condition. And because you're a little bit bigger for a gnome, it looks like it would probably fit you pretty well.
You are a fighter.
All right. And like Felix gets up and he's just like, he's sopping wet. Like, he starts unhooking all the armor and stuff.
And as you're unhooking, you see that same sigil, that same crest that you saw on the statue of a pickaxe crossed with a battle axe surrounded by flame. It's the crest of King Brightarm of the original Helmfire dynasty.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I thought his name was King Jorik.
King Jorik Brightarm. Jorik was his first name and Brightarm was his last name.
Oh.
I forgot his first name for a second, so I just said Brightarm.
Yeah, is it him? I don't think it would be him. Is it him? It's not him.
From your history check earlier, you would know that, as the story is told, the Volantes arrived in Eos and were determined to settle and create a kingdom here. They wanted to settle in Helmfire, and so the Volantes conquered the Brightarm clan. And Jorik, King Jorik Brightarm, is said to have fled and run away in disgrace. And all of his descendants ever since have been shunned and shamed as cowards. So the stories say.
He's like examining the armor and while he's putting it on, and he's just like, well, that's mildly insulting and appropriate. Okay.
You also notice one more thing with the armor. There's an arm band that seems kind of like separate from the armor itself.
Hmm.
And it also has the crest on it.
Hmm. Do I need to investigate it? Like, does it seem sketch? Is it gonna convince me to murder people?
Silvertongue says to you,
well, you won't know until you try it on, will you?
You are not helpful. He sounds like Beavis and Butthead.
Put it on.
In the manga, the character of Yami Bakura is like, when he laughs. So now that's who.
Okay. And like Felix looks down the hallway where the candle is, and he's like, if I put this on, will you let me go back to the candle?
Sure. Why not?
All right, fine. And he slides the armband on. I'm gonna die. Why do I keep agreeing to these things?
Felix,
oh my god, you too.
As you slide the armband on, a strange sensation overcomes you, and you feel something beginning to sprout from your face.
Oh, I'm sorry. No.
A beard.
Don't you fucking dare.
A luscious beard begins to grow from your face. And as you watch in surprise, Felix, as the most beautiful, luscious beard just like appears on your chin. Strong, beautiful, well-oiled, well-groomed.
No.
Beautiful, beautiful beard.
Beautiful beard.
No, and he goes to take off the armband. Like, oh, hell no. Like,
if you take off the armband,
Leave it on. It's hot.
Do you take it off? Oh, Rebecca, I can't hear you.
I'm deciding.
Oh, guys, this didgeridoo over here is so loud. I cannot believe you can't hear it. It's like pulsating.
No. Unsolicited didgeridoos are such a Lydia problem. Like,
okay. He puts on the armband. He sprouts a beard, and he's very alarmed by this. But he's going to run back to the candle before he takes it off. Before the sword gets any more ideas in its head, and then he's going to take it off.
You take off the armband, and the beard disappears.
Oh, thank God! That was disturbing.
I want to wear it.
And like he just takes it and he just shoves it in a pouch, and he's like, "Well, we're going to save that for a random day."
Aren't you glad that I helped you find such a rare item?
No, this was a terrible day. What are you talking about? This was nothing but a disaster.
And you say that, Felix, and we hop back to Princess Thea and Delalia, who are floating in space with two forest bills and an unconscious Lorne. I will look up didgeridoo sounds after it's this, like, just so I can like. Lydia, you, yes, give us your best didgeridoo impression, everybody.
Like it is like this pulsating, like tuba like noise, but like you're moving your mouth at the same time and also humming.
Uh-huh. Ooh, that sounds kind of sexual.
Awesome. And you can feel it in your loins.
Yeah, it's BJ's doing a sound healing right now. That's why, like, there were gongs, but like I didn't think
maybe
we could
hear
it.
Maybe I need a sound healing.
Like,
I want a sound. Emma. Yeah, you can sound my healing.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay. Sorry. We can
all
get back
right.
To
put it back in your hand.
Silver tongue is into it.
Oh, of course he is. A little shit. Yeah, this fucking sword. I'm so mad at this sword right now,
I'm
you
sorry.
Guys.
Sorry, Silver Tongue's a lady, okay?
It is a sword.
A fucking sword.
I identify as he or...
I identify as a sword. That's it.
Yeah.
I don't care what gender identity you assign to me. I'm just
I identify
sword.
As a little shit.
Everything that's phallus phallic doesn't have to be male.
Yes.
That's true.
This is true.
Yeah,
not all dudes are dicks and not all dicks are dudes.
Yep.
That's true.
Yes.
All right.
I may be a little shit, but I'm down with whatever anyone. I'm down with people.
I won't.
Please stop, sword. Please stop.
I won't discriminate.
Sword.
Now
sword.
You're talking like
sword.
A grandfather.
I'm down with the people.
I'm hip to the groove. You dig what I'm feeling? I know you could. Slide me some skin, soul brother.
As the kids say.
It's a very old sword. They don't know. We go back to Delalia and Thea, and you guys are floating in space, and you see up above you there's like an opening in this like space and a light, and you hear Felix's voice, and he's saying, "This has been a very bad day."
Felix, we need to go get Lorne though. Where's Lorne?
Don't know why. Or wait, hold on. I don't.
He's floating there next to you guys, unconscious.
I'm gonna hold on to his little body and say, "Come on, buddy. Come on."
And Delalia and Thea, you wait there a moment and nothing happens. And then, actually, I should roll. I'm going to roll four. I'm going to grab my actual dice and roll a wisdom saving throw for
Him's one. Widow. Him doesn't know.
Does he have any modifiers?
Oh, no. He rolled 2 3s in a row.
Pineapple, no. Lorne does.
Lorne is twitching, you guys. Lorne is twitching like a dog does when it's having a dream. And... you get a feeling. You actually both get a feeling from Lorne, and it's fear. And then you both get an image. You see images of big, big dragons, much, much bigger than Lorne. And you're seeing it from his perspective. And they're angry, and they've got big claws, and they're breathing fire. And Lorne is running, and Lorne is trying to get away. And then you see that Lorne is in a cage. And you feel the feeling of confusion and fear. You see a flash of Erickson's face, the poacher that you met before. And then it shifts again. And now you're in like a dark room, and you get the sense of cold. And you see there's a person in front of you with like a long wizard's hat. And you can't tell really much about them other than that. But you sense that Lorne is approaching this person and flash, you see Lauren is putting his paws up on this person, and the person's outfit looks weird and very, very grainy and gray. And then flash, you see that Lauren is looking somewhere else, and there's a figure behind him in this long tunnel, this long dark tunnel, and there's books all over the ground, and there's a tall figure standing there. And then there's flash, and you see ice, and flash, and it's ice, and flash, snow, and flash back to Erickson, and now it's just all kind of jumbling together.
I command Lauren, and I say to Lauren, wake up.
Lauren rolled a 15 and a 14 that time, so Lauren twitches and twitches and twitches, and then your voice just cuts through everything, Delalia, and his eyes like shoot open, and he shoots up and kind of flails a little bit, like, you know, he was woken up really, really quickly. Uh-huh. And he's looking around, and he's it takes him a minute to realize, like, oh wait, I'm not there anymore. And he looks at you, Delalia and Thea, and he just like flaps his little wings towards you, Delalia, and just like just hugs you.
Yeah,
goes
and
right
I hug
into
him into
clavage.
Me, and I say, "It's okay, buddy. It wasn't real. You're back. You're with us. I'm so sorry. I love you."
And he just holds you close and curls into you and purrs.
Go, let's.
Like only a dragon can purr.
Yeah. Yeah, let's go. Let's go back. Take us home, Thea.
You look up and you see that there's like an opening in the sky, and that's where you heard Felix's voice coming from.
There, Felix.
So we do that like She-Ra stance where one of our legs is like, one of our knees is up and our arm goes like this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And we shoot up there.
For the honor of Grayskull?
For the honor of wherever I'm from, a phone at Hoyd.
And you and your bills fly up towards the opening in the hole. Felix, you say, today has been an awful day. And then in a flash, like the room becomes all light this time, like just super blinding white light. And then it disappears back into the candle. But now Delalia, Thea, Lorne, and two forest mastiffs are standing in front of you.
You did it! And Felix just runs up and he just like grabs them both in a big hug. And he's just hugging like the fucking air out of him. Like he was so scared.
So Felix is wet and has new armor on. So mm-hmm. I push him back by his breastplate and I slap him in the face. And I say, wake up! It's not real!
I am awake!
Backweir!
Ow!
Backweir!
I've been out here the whole time!
Oh, why are you different? Thea's broken, but she's fine.
What?
Just you're speaking.
She's broken?
Little bit. Wait, hold on. How does one say?
Bit little A.
Bit little A. She holds up her fingers like that.
Yeah, so just a little backwardsy. But you seem to be finely clad.
While you were gone, Silvertongue got a little bossy, and I couldn't exactly stop myself. So
left
we had a little
you?
Adventure of our own, huh?
Us what? Left you?
I didn't want to.
I mean, that's okay. We were stuck in a candle. Felix went and got his kicks for Silvertongue. Felix, look, bills are here. Bills, Felix.
Whoa, okay,
and
hey.
I think the bills go and lick Felix's face and are really excited to see him.
Oh.
Aww.
And he's like petting him, but he's also like, these are very big and hairy and probably just a teeny bit smelly. not quite like butts, but.
Not quite like butts.
He's like, well, you guys certainly had an adventure of your own. Are you guys okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're good. Anyway, so what else is here? What have you found? Anything good? Besides a whole new...
It's dwarven armor, I guess. And,
Oh, it has that same thing on it as the other thing.
Yeah.
Neat. Very cool.
Yeah, it's some dwarven armor. A bag of acorns, but Bayman didn't really want them. But
why didn't he want them?
I don't know. Like, he just wouldn't eat them. And like, he like reaches in. I don't know. He reaches in, pulls one out, and he's like, I don't know. And he like holds it up to Thea. Do you sense anything?
Acorns. Acorn sensei.
Can I? I want to do detect magic on them.
Yes, you may.
So I do that, and I want to sense the presence of magic within 30 feet of me. If I sense magic in any way, I can use my action to see a faint aura around any visible creature or object in the area that bears magic, and I can learn its school of magic, if any.
Delalia, you see, as you would expect, Silver Tongue is glowing as a magical object.
What class?
The way you see it, that's a good question. Let me pull up my classes real quick.
Which, oh, guys, okay. I made the Dean's List.
Congratulations!
Isn't that wild?
That's awesome.
I didn't even know that was a, like, I didn't think that would be a thing.
You fucking rock.
Great, dude.
I said class and I remembered that.
When you look at Princess Thea, you see that her necklace from her mother is glowing, and it is glowing with abjuration magic, which is a protection magic, spells that protect, block, or banish. You see that Felix's sword is glowing with an orange magic, which you recognize as being of transmutation, which is the class of spells that transform or physically change something. Delavia, you see that something in Felix's bag is glowing red with evocation magic, which is spells that manipulate energy or create something from nothing. And the acorns are also growing with transmutation magic, a red or an orange. The acorns are glowing with an orange transmutation magic.
Anything else in the room magical?
Oh, and the black candle, the nightmare candle, is glowing with a very, very ominous. By the way, that is still lit.
Oh,
it's glowing very ominously. She blows it up.
We didn't see anybody else in there, did we?
Should we go back?
Yeah, you didn't. No, you didn't, you notice anybody else in there.
Delalia.
Got sort of a saving people thing.
I can't believe slapped me.
Like, Thea didn't say that. If Thea had said it, it would have sounded bad.
Like, let's say that the candle is glowing with that same red evocation magic of manipulating energy to create something.
Okay. Can I blow this candle out, guys?
Yeah. Please. Carefully.
I mean,
can somebody make a gust? Thea, can you make like a gust of wind or something?
Well, I can do that. I do that.
Sorry, I'm having to like weigh everything that I say because it's all supposed to be backwards.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Thea.
It's okay. But can I do a perception check or some kind of check to see if I should leave that candle lit or if it would be better if it was out? Like, is there anybody trapped on the other side kind of thing?
You have rolled really well earlier when you knew what this was. You know that if you blow it out, if there's anything else in there, it won't be able to escape while it's blown out. The only way that, and I probably could have clarified this earlier, but it was fun. The only way that someone will die is if the candle like burns all the way down and is dead. So a person can be trapped in there when it's blown out. But if like the candle's left lit and it just keeps burning until it, you know, goes out, then whatever is in there disappears and the pocket dimension like basically caves in on itself.
Ew.
And crushes whatever's inside.
So,
but if we just blew it out, it would just be in there.
Exactly. Okay.
But it'd be trapped in a nightmare dimension.
Yeah, some people deserve that. cool. Well, so yeah, I'm going to poof it out.
And it just like, it goes out with a pah.
A menacing paw. I'm going to take Menacing Paw and put it in my bag. Oh yeah. So those acorns have like some magic in them.
Oh.
So we should just keep them.
Oh, I got one more thing. Delalia, I think you're going to love this. And he pulls out this, the armband and he's about to put it on. And he's like, you know what? Thea, why don't you put it on?
Rude.
That's so funny.
He's gonna reach out and say, on this put?
Uh-huh. Don't worry, it's safe, I think.
Is this Silver Tongue talking, or is this...
No, this
arm
is...
on?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And she just takes it and slaps it on.
We put it on like a slap bracelet. Yeah. flap armband. And in an instant, Thea grows the most luxurious beard you've ever seen in your life.
I love it.
I don't know what it's for, but we have it.
And Thea just like reaches up and feels her face, and shock spreads across her face.
It's okay.
But it is replaced by glee. And she says,
very good look for you, Thea.
Beard, I want it always, Ive.
Well, you can wear that as long as you want, I suppose.
I like to think that it's like dark brown and blue like her hair and like looks really stylish. Yeah.
She says, very cool. No. It's save aisle. And she takes it off and hands it back to Felix.
Well, that'll be good for when we're back in elven places and we want to pretend you're a dwarf.
Mm-hmm.
Who was that skeleton that Felix found in the stream? What nightmares was Lorne experiencing? What awaits our heroes next time on Spellbound? Thank you to our top-tier patrons. The Dude, The Parkers, Laura Carter, Julie Vaughn, Ryan Botwana-Caruza, Sean Pierre Ringgold, and Kat Harker. Songs in this episode include Spellbound, Spellbound Part 2, and Hearthfire by Vinsvept of Bandcamp.com, The Oni by Ted Bushman, The House of Leaves, At Rest, and Decline by Kevin McLeod of incomptech.filmmusic.io. All other music by Alexander Nakarada of Serpent Sound Studios. All sound effects from zapsplat.com. Until next time.
That would have been fun stuff.
Yeah.
About. Guys, we should get an Airbnb when the pandemic is over, and we should hang out in it.
And we should go skinny dipping together, because that's how you know you're real friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And have a fire.
Yes, a fireplace, please.
A fireplace
fire,
and drinks
tubs,
by the fire.
Skinny dipping.
Yes. Maybe a dog.
Or maybe a dancing. Tree hugging. Literally. Tree hugging. It feels so good on your naked breasts.
And like,
does it?
I don't know.
They're exfoliating.